Good morning, everyone. There we go. And welcome to worship at St. John's this morning. Whether you are here in this place or somewhere online, we're pleased to have you join us in worship this morning. And as we enter into worship on this Indigenous People Sunday, we begin our service this morning with our land acknowledgement. As we gather, we remember that we are gathered on the traditional territories of the First Nations people of the Ganawake, the Mohawk of the Mohawk of the Haudenosaunee or Iroquois Confederacy, with whom we are peoples of the Upper Canada Treaties. May we live with respect on this land and live in peace, justice, and tolerance with each other. The announcements for this morning were on before you on the screen as you were gathering, so I hope you had an opportunity to pay attention to those as they flashed by you this morning. A couple of things to draw to your attention. Next Sunday, we will be celebrating our high school graduates in worship, and following worship, there will be a luncheon, so please do come and plan to stay for a time of fellowship following this special Sunday. And there may still be opportunities for you to do something next week if you feel the need to contribute. There is a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board outside of the kitchen as you are exiting with more information on that. And this week we are waiting with anxious anticipation for the arrival of the Massey family preparations for their arrival are underway. Setup of their apartment will happen tomorrow afternoon. So if you have some time to share, speak with Jennifer, and she will let you know more details. And we're really looking forward to summer worship at St. John's, just because this is the kind of, we're getting close to the end of June. Don't think you can just wander off. Going to be some good things happening during this summer here at St. John. So we're looking forward to welcoming Minna back with us for several weeks on the organ while Olivia is away at the Banff School of the Arts. So this is our last Sunday with Olivia, so we wish Olivia a wonderful summer as she goes off to Banff. It's a real hardship to have to spend the summer in Banff, so we look forward to all kinds of good stories and wonderful pictures, I'm sure, when she arrives back in August. Of course, as we've been saying, we're focusing on the Book of Psalms in our worship throughout this year, and especially through the coming couple of weeks. So if you have a favorite psalm and you would like to get it included in the list of things that we're going to be looking at and preaching over the next month or so, let me know, we can do that. And along the way, we are going to welcome some excellent guest preachers, and there will be some surprises. So there's something for everyone. Please plan to attend. And then finally, it is with sorrow we share the news of the passing of Bill Hope on Saturday morning. Plans will be set for Bill's funeral during the week, so the church office will share that news with you as soon as we know more. This year, one of our elders, Michelle Alexis, had the opportunity of being a commissioner to General Assembly, and so Michelle's going to share just a few of her insights and some of the things that happened at General Assembly this morning.
Good morning. General Assembly took place from June 7th to 11th. And met at York University Keele campus in Thornhill. The initial worship gathering was at the Vaughan Community Church, which is a large Korean-speaking congregation, with worship music provided by both a large band and a large choir accompanied by an orchestra. So that was an experience. The General Assembly consists of 163 commissioners, 10 young adult representatives, and 3 student representatives. And I'm in that picture, so you can play Where's Waldo and find me in there. The first day was marked by a presentation by the winner of the Cutting Edge of Mission Award, Austin Penner, one of the founders of Upper Level Ministry in BC, which holds events in a nightclub. So that award comes with $10,000 that will allow them to continue that unique ministry. Then we had some guest speakers, including Jim Baird Jacobs, an indigenous pastor from Minnesota, who spoke to us about the doctrine of discovery and how it justified oppression of racial and cultural minorities for hundreds of years, and how the echoes of that continue to fuel racism and oppression to this day. We also heard from Reverend Jeff Murray, the former moderator, who spoke of his visit to Israel and Palestine and was dismayed by the dehumanization of the Palestinian people by the Israeli government. And he found parallels with the historical treatment of indigenous peoples in Canada. He expressed that a source of hope is the untiring work of people of all faiths for peace and reconciliation. We also heard from Dr. Pablo Kim of the Intercultural Office, who spoke about the importance of inclusion and transformation in our worshiping communities. Tuesday was Camp Day, and so we heard from the Presbyterian camps across the country, and I learned that how many there are and the different kinds of work they do. We also had guest speakers talking about, one spoke of her mission in Nepal, and two were of Palestinian origin and spoke of their current struggles. Wednesday was a day that included hearing from the Change leadership team, reminding us to cast our net on the other side as Jesus commanded his disciples. In this context, meaning to look for new believers in unexpected places or new ways. Thursday, the young adult representatives made a presentation and pointed out that young people are not just the future of the church. They're in the here and now making important contributions to the life of the church and its work. There were some controversies. The funding of theological education was a bit of a source of conflict, not because people don't think it's important, actually quite the opposite. Many people at the assembly were hoping for a larger proportion of the budget to be spent on the theological colleges. However, because of the way the budget is done, by the time you get to General Assembly, it's basically too late to make changes. So the changes would have to come in the 2027 budget and beyond. And so that was a frustration for some people. But we were reminded that the funding for theological colleges comes from Presbyterian sharing. So if you want the colleges to get more funding, give more to Presbyterian sharing. There was also some discussion around pastoral care for Hungarian-speaking members in areas without Hungarian-speaking ministers. That was another new thing that I learned, that there are actually Hungarian-speaking congregations in our Presbyterian church. And one of the biggest controversies was regarding medical assistance in dying. The Church Doctrine Committee reaffirmed that the Church's confession is that Jesus Christ is Lord over life and death and upholds the inherent dignity of all human life and opposes MAID as a medical, legal, and social response to suffering while emphasizing compassionate pastoral care for all affected. but there were a number of members of the assembly who were dissatisfied with the statement, considering it insufficient as a guide to providing pastoral care to those who were considering or choosing assisted suicide. That matter was referred to the Life and Mission Committee for basically further work and pastoral resources. So overall, it was a positive experience. The worship services and the accompanying music were inspiring and inspired, and I have a better understanding and appreciation of our denomination structure and its local, national, and worldwide impact. And I would encourage anyone who has never been to General Assembly, if you get the opportunity to go, that you should go. Thank you very much.
Michelle, before you wander away, I just had a question that popped into my mind over the last couple of days, which was, sure, this year was the 60th anniversary of the passing of the legislation that enabled the ordination of women. Was there any recognition of that at our General Assembly this year?
Not specifically.
I think I must have been there 10 years ago. Because 10 years ago in the 50th, there was, and I was wondering if there was this year, especially in light of the fact, as if some of you are following American media, the largest denomination in the United States is moving against congregations that have women pastors. So in light of that, we should be celebrating that we have been ordaining women for 60 years.
Well, the moderator was a woman, and many of the worship leaders were women, so
yes.
Women were well represented in the assembly.
All right, good, thank you. Yes, the moderator of this year's General Assembly, who you can see in the front row, she's wearing her gown with the white stole. The white stole is probably what stands up the most, is the Reverend Lara Scully. Some of you may know Lara. Lara is presently ministering in Pointe Claire, Quebec. So she's a neighbor of ours, as it were. And Lara and I have run into each other several times through the years and been presbytery mates or synod mates. So it's a wonderful thing to have Lara as the moderator of the assembly for the coming year. One thing I forgot to mention for elders, equipping elders, which is a binder of everything you need to know about membership or eldership. We're going to be going through this as a study throughout 2020, when we come back in the fall. They arrived in the mail this week. They are in the Rennie room, and so elders are free to pick them up today, and you can begin your reading early, because I know you'll all be looking for things to read over the summer. As we come into worship this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world, and that we who are his people seek to walk according to his light. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call, as is our custom, and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord. Our souls long for you, O God. By day, Eternal One, you proclaim steadfast love.
And at night, your song sounds within each one of us.
Creator, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead us.
Let them bring us to your holy dwelling.
We approach your altar, O God, to worship you, the author of our joy.
We praise you, O God, our Creator.
And our opening hymn is number 293, Come Thou Almighty King, hymn 293.
Oh,
just making sure the young people have left, because the young people are doing something special this morning, so they've already left worship for this morning, but we look forward to joining them during our time of fellowship at the end of worship. Once more, let us come before God in prayer, and the prayer of our, the words for our opening prayer this morning will appear before you on the screen. Let us pray. God of all peoples, in all times and places, your creation sings your praise. Your Son teaches us the ways of love, justice, and peace. Your Spirit emboldens our hearts and hands to build the world according to your will. We confess our brokenness. We do not hear the cries of those who are suffering because it is inconvenient and costly to respond. We do not acknowledge truths that make us uncomfortable. We reject and belittle those who are different than we are. We are blind to the ways we benefit today from the legacy of hurt against indigenous peoples. Too often we love imperfectly, speak harshly, and judge quickly. Reconciling God, we are called to gentleness, to compassion, and to radical acceptance of difference. In Christ Jesus, we are learning to walk in new ways with new companions. We are learning to surrender the need to justify, to explain, and to fix. We are learning to listen. When creation groans, we groan as well. When your people speak out against injustice, we honor their courage and stand with them. Spirit of God, create in us feeling clear eyes and open minds. Amen. Friends, in Christ we can work to transform relationships and envision a new future guided by the Spirit of God. We can become new creation. Trust then in the Lord and God and his love for you, and that he forgives you. Do not be afraid to try a new way forward. Amen. And as God is forgiving of us, God calls us also to be forgiving of one another. Let us take a moment now to stand and to greet our neighbors with a sign of the peace of Christ, and may the peace of Christ be with you all. Once more, let us sing. Our hymn is number 199, If I Have Been the Source of Pain. Please be seated. And as we come before Scripture, let us come in prayer. God of wisdom, open our minds to your will, our hearts to your love, and our hands to serve you in the world as we listen to the Scriptures. with your Holy Spirit. Equip us to follow Jesus, who is your living word, and our example for showing love for you and for one another. Amen.
The first reading is from Psalm 8. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are humans that you are mindful of them, mortals that you can care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The next reading is from Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah.
Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Once more, let us sing the hymn 635, "Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You," number 635, or as it appears before you on the screens.
Brother, sister, let me serve you.
Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm sure many of you are familiar with the Heritage Moment, those little capsules of history that appear on TV from time to time, the one that portrays the first contact between Jacques Cartier and the Iroquois people in the area that's now Quebec City. In the commercial that's based on this event, Cartier and his companions have arrived at the Iroquoian village for a meet and are invited in for a meeting. The Iroquoian word for village is Canada, and it's misinterpreted by the clergyman who's with Cartier, mea culpa there. It's misinterpreted as the name of the country. And there you go. Here we are, living in Canada. Centuries later, from the moment that is depicted in that little Heritage Moment, living in this land called Canada, we live in a country which is defined by the hospitality of the First Nations when they welcomed these strangers in. We live in a country to some extent built on the misunderstanding of one culture by another. And I think it's safe to say that to some extent our lives together, even today, are lives that are built on misunderstandings and fear or disregard of others and of others who are not exactly like us. It's an all too familiar human tendency. And I was reminded of all of that this week because I thought about this morning's message and particularly reminded of a gentleman by the name of Terry Wildman, who I encountered a while ago while doing some study. Terry Wildman was raised in Michigan, and he is of Ojibwe and Yaka heritage, along with a few other European countries mixed in there. He's worked for 40 years in ministry with First Nations people, and he was reflecting on his experiences when he said, over 20 years ago, while we were living with the Hopi Indian Reservation and serving as a pastor with the American Baptist Sunlight Mission on Second Mesa, we were using the New International Version in the jail ministry. And all the churches on the reservation also used it. In the meetings in the local jail, as we shared scripture, I noticed that the participants just weren't connecting. As my wife and I prayed, we wondered if the English translation we were using wasn't connecting culturally, but we had no answers. Later, he says, I found a Hopi New Testament translation in the storage at the church building, but soon learned that almost no one could read it. Not much later, I discovered this was true across North America for many tribes. While missionaries were translating the Bible into native languages, governments, with the help of church organizations, were stripping the native people of their languages through the boarding schools. Adults were not taught to read in their language in the boarding schools, and children were forbidden to even speak their language. As a result of these experiences, Wildman began to work on a new translation of the Bible, a First Nations translation that would reflect the language and culture of First Nations people in English. This new version of the Bible makes use of descriptive names for the people that we find in Scripture reflective of First Nations names. In the same way that the Bibles that we read from this morning, if you pay close attention to them, draw from the culture and the understanding of the children of God of the Old Testament. This morning, as we turn to the New Testament lesson, we are confronted with the question that Jesus asks his disciples, who do you say that I am? As we turn in that reading from Matthew's gospel that Carmen read for us this morning, Jesus has been with his disciples for some time now. Together they've traveled through the land, and the disciples have observed all of the things that Jesus is doing. Healing the sick, caring for those who are on the fringes of society, teaching everyone that he encounters about the kingdom of God. And Jesus' popularity is growing and expanding as he does all of these things. He is becoming a man of renown who draws crowds wherever he goes. But the question always lies just beneath the surface. Who is Jesus? Who do you say that I am? Not merely what people observe, but in terms of Jesus' relationship to the world, which gives rise to this question, who do people say that I am? And the answer to the question must always venture far away from the flat and the two-dimensional answer, the stuff of birth certificates and departments of vital statistics. And beyond the transactional, the what's in it for me that is all around in the stories that lead up to this one. Ultimately, the answer to this question must arrive at the transcendent reality that is at the heart of Peter's great confession. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Church of Jesus Christ in every age and in every culture stands upon these words and these words alone. And yet, we are all too aware that Peter's confession can be just as flat and as lifeless as any name on a birth certificate. In the end, for the gospel to have any power, it must live in our hearts and it must change us. At the heart of the gospel is God's great saving act of love to bring about reconciliation to the world so that we might live in the presence of God. And that word, reconciliation, has also become the defining word in our attempts to come to terms with the past, with our First Nations people, and to look forward to the future. And just as reconciliation in our faith lives involves confession and turning away from sin and striving as best we can to adopt new behaviors, so too our quest for reconciliation with our First Nations brothers and sisters likewise involves our facing the uncomfortable truths of the past which define how we have looked upon a culture different from our own and seeking to learn from their wisdom. It begins with fresh articulations of life and faith, that in hearing an old story, our shared story of God's great love for us, that we might hear God calling to us in new and different ways, that we might begin to explore how Jesus truly is the Creator sets free, the name for Jesus in the Bible translation that Terry Wildman, with whom we started, has used to describe our Savior. And what that new truth might mean, how we might discover for ourselves and others how Jesus has set us free and wishes to set others free from their burdens and their pain as well. And it all begins with just one question. What's in a name? Thanks be to God. Amen. Our affirmation of faith for this morning is taken from the Living Faith document, chapter 8. It said 8.8. I think it's 8.4, actually, which is the section on justice. Let us read together responsively. God is always calling the church to seek that justice in the world which reflects the divine righteousness revealed in the Bible.
other and strive to change customs and practices that oppress and enslave others.
Justice involves protecting the rights of others. It protests against everything that destroys human dignity.
Justice requires concern for the poor of the world. It seeks the best way to create well-being in every society.
It is concerned about employment, education, and health, as well as rights and responsibilities. Justice seeks fairness in society. It involves the protection of human beings, concern for the victims of crime as well as offenders. It requires fair laws, justly administered, courts and penal institutions that are just and humane. Amen. Around us, the gifts of God's good earth appear in fields and gardens, speaking of God's goodness to us. Our gifts also speak of God's goodness as we offer our gratitude for all we have received in Christ and in creation. Let us present now our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Let us pray. Great and gracious God, we offer you our gifts in thanksgiving. Pour out your Spirit upon them and upon us. May the gifts we offer bear the fruit of your Spirit in every life we touch. We pray through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of compassion and courage, in our weakness, you are strength. In our sorrows, you are comfort and peace. We thank you for your embracing presence in our lives. Embrace each situation we lay before you today with your steadfast love. We thank you for moments of joy that break into our lives, for love given and received, for friends who furnish our life with meaning and happiness, and for family who embrace us with love and understanding. And today we pray for those who cannot feel joy, for any who are estranged from family or friends, for those feeling stressed by the costs of living, for those who face any kind of loss. Embrace us all with your mercy, O God, and give us grace to respond to the needs around us. God of the world, we pray for people in our communities, both friend and stranger alike. Draw us towards and deeper in relationships that open doors of connection, respect, and understanding among neighbors. We give thanks for your abundant gifts and for the resources to support those facing difficulties in our communities and in other parts of the world. And today, as a congregation, we pray for the Massey family as they prepare to leave their time of exile in Malaysia and begin a new life here in Cornwall. Challenge those who govern us, O God, to listen and respond to the needs of those that they serve. Challenge us to commit to international efforts to preserve the earth, work against the inhumanity of war, and strive for peace with justice. Guide leaders to set fair policies that protect vulnerable people and respect every person's dignity. Embrace us all with your mercy, O God, and give us grace to respond to the needs around us. Creator God, during this Indigenous History Month, we give thanks for the opportunities we have to learn about the rich and diverse histories, languages, and cultures of First Nations, Inuit, and Métis people. We give you thanks for Indigenous leaders, for knowledge keepers, and leaders who work for the well-being of Indigenous nations and communities. And we pray for their health and strength in this essential work. Eternal God, we thank you for your people in every age who have entered into your heavenly presence, and especially those dear to our own hearts. Thank you for memories that inspire us, for love and laughter shared and lessons learned. And we give you thanks for the life of your servant, Bill Hope, and we pray for his family during these difficult times. Be present amongst them and comfort them. Hear us now as we offer prayers in silence for the concerns that rest upon our hearts this day. We gather together in longings of our hearts, both spoken and unspoken, in the words that Jesus has taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise for this morning is the hymn, O for a World Where Everyone, hymn 730 in the Book of Praise, or as it will appear before you on the screens. And just a reminder that next week we also bring to the end our month of collecting for the Canada Food Grains Bank, and so your little white boxes should come back next week as well. Let us, friends, as we go out into the world, let us go from this place bearing into the world the love and justice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may you always walk upon the Creator's road. And may the Creator always bless your footsteps as you go and as you come once more, amen. Thank you.